This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Welcome to Blakey's Booth Room, the number one Cardiff City podcast, brought to you by Wales Online.
Hello and welcome to Blakey's Booth Room, the Cardiff City podcast in association with Giovanni's Restaurants. I'm your host, Glenn Williams, and I'm joined by Nathan Blake. Blakey, how are you, mate?
I'm great, mate. Isn't it lovely having just two of us?
Oh, it is. It's so nice and quiet and peaceful. I mean, succinctly talked with you.
I really wish it was being filmed. Do you know why?
Why?
Because your haircut is fantastic.
I just knew you were going to bring it up. I'm so annoyed with you for doing that.
Anyway, this is G on the weekend. Well, you might think it's his younger brother. He looks about 13, right?
Yeah, it's a bit
fresh.
He's got
a fantastic haircut.
It's a bit, to be fair, the lady who did it, she's probably not listening. It was her first day in the barber, so yeah. She made me pay full price, though.
Guinea picked up, then.
It's a bit of a slap out of the back, isn't it?
Well, you know, it reminds me of like a... You know, I feel like bringing my putter and my golf ball and just doing a bit of like a little putting green at the back there.
Cheers.
It looks lovely though.
Yeah, it's nice time of year to have a slap out of the bag as well. It's absolutely freezing. I've been wearing my beanie all week. You said you were going to mention. Anyway.
I promised I wouldn't.
So today we'll be talking about the Luton and Huddersfield wins. We'll be touching on Cardiff City's prospective promotion bid as well. And then obviously some Ask Blakey at the end. Blakey, it's nice to start a pod in jovial mood, isn't it? Actually, it's a nice feel around the club.
There is a nice feel, and it's the winning of games, I suppose, rather than the drawing of games, because we've been draw masters this season. But I think if I was to take the most positive thing out of our league position and what have you, is the fact that I still don't think we've played to our potential. I still think we need to, if we can play a bit more football on evidence like we did last night, then I think what you're going to get is fans really, really behind you. Because I was listening to the radio after the Luton game, and they were happy with the result, but disgruntled with the way we're playing. So, I just think we've said it for a while now, haven't we, on the Boot Room? Just think it's probably the last decade or so of watching, you know, different styles of football. I had a lot, you know, five or six different managers, and most of them were of a defensive nature. And then the ones who were, you would say, well, he is
attacking,
more of an attacking manager, didn't really work out. So it's I'm just hoping, like, you know, Neil Harris can, you know, transition, trying to continue transitioning. I know we said like 2 weeks ago, the problem at the moment is when they're trying to get back into the game, they resort to like a Neil Warnock on steroids sort of ball.
Mm-hmm. But,
you know, I think if they can, even if they got that in the locker, but in general, they can go towards more of a footballing style. I think the fans are like craving for it, to be honest with you. And you know, you think of the season we've had so far, you wouldn't say we've played well this season. You know, football hasn't been great. Solid, hard to beat. You know, never die attitude. Never say die attitude. You know, lots of great ingredients you need for a team that can win promotion. But, you know, something missing here and there, you know, one or two, maybe three ingredients. So I think if they can get that style of football down and improve, I'm not saying like 20 passes a goal overnight, but if they can start to move towards more, you know, passing, you know, counter-attack, fast, free-flowing style of football, whilst remaining solid and had the beat. I think that is, you kind of get the way I believe the Cardiff philosophy should be.
Well, we were sitting here last week, weren't we? And Cardiff had just been dumped out of the FA Cup. They had that 1-1 draw with Reading in the league as well. We were all a little bit underwhelmed by the January transfer window. So we just knew that this was going to be a crucial week coming up. Neil Harris in his press conference before Luton said that this is to date the biggest week of his Cardiff City tenure so far.
Yeah.
And you can see why, because he had three games ahead of him, which are ostensibly winnable games in Luton away, Huddersfield away, and then Wigan at home. And now all of a sudden, a week later, the complexion is completely different almost. At Luton, obviously the win over Luton, 1-0, wasn't a classic by any stretch of imagination. It was Luton were a poor side. They created probably the better chances, but their product in the final third was left a lot to be desired. And Cardiff, when you've got Lee Tomlin on the pitch, all they need to do is stay resolute for 60, 70, 80 minutes. And now Harris lets Tomlin play the full 90. They're always in with a chance of winning the game.
Absolutely. I mean, I was listening to the lovable Anne, who often goes on radio after games. And whilst the feeling that you got from her, from what she was saying, was, and, you know, she's a diehard. She goes everywhere. And the feeling you got from Anne was that, you know, they're obviously happy with the result because they won, but they would still, you know, we want to see a bit more football. And at the end of the day, you know, as a player, you're there to, you know, you're there for yourself, there for your family, your manager, your club, but you're ultimately there for those who travel home and away, do you know what I mean, to come and support you. And, you know, they're the people who pay.
Mm.
And they're, like I always say, they're the one constant. Players move on, managers move on, chairman of boards move on, owners move on, but fans don't. They're the one constant. So they are what you have to put as your sort of pinnacle alongside your 11 men on the pitch. Those two have always been in unison, right? Like a steam engine. You know, it has to, you know, one has to complement the other all the time. Not some of the time, all of the time. And, you know, I think the fans have been, in recent years, they've been great at almost overlooking, right, we're just going to try and drive our team to get results, sort of thing. Because we know we're not a great footballing team.
No.
But now that can only last so long, Glenn, you know what I mean? And you've got to the stage now where I think fans are like demanding, and they've got a right to, you know. You can see a lot of teams moving that way, even in the lower leagues, like we've said before, you know, teams in the lower leagues moving that way, and there's no reason why players of the caliber we have shouldn't be, you know, expected to do the same. Then that just then comes down to who you have as your leader, stroke manager, and what you have overall as a club, as your philosophy. And I think, you know, as some of the hierarchy need to really grasp hold of and understand, and then start to, you know, allow managers to sign players which fit what they're trying to achieve. Because the board have control of the club, so they can set the agenda. Neil Harris doesn't have control of the club. The board and the ownership have control of the club, and you set the agenda, right? This is what we believe in. We brought you in to achieve that. And, you know, like I say, they need to get hold of the philosophy and really, you know, drill down on it, because it's so important. You know, it's, then you have the owners of the club, the fans of the club, and the football team all in sync.
Yeah.
Which is always a recipe for success, as simple as that. I look at Liverpool and see what they're doing at the moment. It works. You know, when you have disgruntled fans, you know, it doesn't work. When you have a board that didn't really know what they were doing, you know, no disrespect, but signing players like Andy Carroll for 35 million, on his day, he could be worth 135 million. But suspect with injuries and what have you. So, you know, things have to all fit together. Do you know what I mean? I'm just using Andy Carroll as an example. It's not, you know, I think he's a great player on his day, but they have to fit. And you know, it's like three pieces of a triangle, isn't it? Arrowhead, all going in the same direction. Board, players, philosophy.
Well, we just touched on signings there. Albert Adoma is the only one of the three signings who's made his debut so far.
Mm.
And was very good and caught a lot of praise from Cardiff City fans after the game. And I have to agree, I thought he was good. He wasn't a world beater, but you could see he was the type of player, or you could see why Neil Harris bought him.
He's got the experience. He's not a spring chicken, but he still do a job, and a very good job, and he knows the position. He's a natural right winger. He's a very, very good player and has been for a long time. So, you know, it makes sense. He gives you a balance and a reliability. You can trust him because he's been there, seen it, done it, got
one,
the
two
T-shirt.
Promotions, yeah.
He's done it all. So, you know, him coming up on the right, then also it probably improve Jazz. Richard probably helped Jazz a lot, his experience in front of Jazz. So it probably gives you a better balance, yeah, because you know what you're getting. You know what Adoma's going to give you, like 7 to 8 out of 10 every week.
Yeah,
you know, now that's high performance level. And when he has his, you know, outstanding game, maybe when he was younger that would happen 15 times a season. Now you might get it 8 times a season, but you'll still have those games where he'll get a couple of goals and he'll be unplayable. So for me, it's shrewd signing, I thought.
Yeah, so a 1-0 win away at Luton Town, you described to me off air, they're finding ways to win, which is so important, especially at this stage of the season, because Cardiff historically do better after Christmas, don't they? And they,
yeah.
But how important is it to go to a ground like Kenilworth Road and come away with the
win? It's solid. It is. 1-0 win. You know, I think I said they'd go and get a draw, 1-1 draw, something like that. So going there, you know, bottom of the table, fighting for their lives, you know, nothing to lose. All the pressure's on Cardiff, even though you're away from home. I believe they took another 1,000+ up there.
Yeah, they were great.
You know, they're just great. Travelling support, they are, you know, they've seen it many, many times, Glenn. It is a special thing, and it is a special feeling when you run out and you've got that roar and that, you know, fans singing and what have you. It's no surprise in a small type ground like Kenilworth that they go up there and win. And, you know, if the players can continue to deliver, that number of 1,000 will grow. That'll be 1,500. And then 2,000, then 2,500, you know, then you're starting to get back to, you know, that's a serious travelling army that helps push your team and get results. Because you've seen them push the team over the line many times at the stadium this season.
Yeah.
And for the last couple of seasons. So, you know, going away from home and getting the feeling like you're at home, you know. And they're always a bit nuttier as well, the away fans.
The diehards.
Yeah. So it is, you know, I always say it is a love playing at home, but going away from home with a proper army, there's no better feeling if you're a player.
So after the match, Neil Harris was rightly delighted with the result, but he sort of challenged his players, now you've got to go and back it up. You've got to go to Huddersfield on Wednesday and you've got to do the same thing. And I think a lot of the reason for this excitement among Bluebirds fans at the moment is not only the 3-0 win, it was the manner of the 3-0 win. We saw Cardiff beat QPR 3-0, but when Neil Warnock was in charge, that was a complete stark contrast to the 3-0 win last night. They looked in complete control. The three goals, the first goal especially, how good was that first goal? I mean,
well, Murphy's finish.
I
just thought the whole build-up play, there's few players who could find that pass.
Yeah.
Right? Tomlin has found that pass. I say to the club, I think Tomlin's up this season, contractual-wise.
He got re-signed in January.
He did get re-signed in January.
2 years
for another 2 years. Okay, good. That's ticked off then.
Yeah.
I just seen it the other day and thought he'd signed a new one. And I thought, well, he must not have.
No, 2 years.
Anyway, but, yeah, great ball. Great run, good build-up play, and it's that is what I've just been alluding to.
Mm.
You know, solid control. Not every game's going to... No game's easy. But as games go, that was pretty straightforward last night.
Yeah.
All right? You're just bigger and better. And then what you've done also was bring your tools. You know, Murphy steps up. Tomlin does what he does. You know, Volk steps up with a fantastic goal. And a even better celebration, by the way, William. Fantastic.
Good was that?
Yeah, should be at the Olympics. Yeah, I used to do it myself. I loved it. I thought when he done the Arab swing, I thought, is he going to go all the way and go into the back somersault? And he did. I was like, fair play.
That was a great finish, though, wasn't it?
It was a great finish. It was a great finish. I just thought it was a really good goal. I thought that was a good goal also. And then obviously Patterson, you know, does what he does best. Like he's very good at being in the right place at the right time in the opposition's box.
You've come on to Patterson there. He's one who the last month or so has grabbed the number 9 shirt and said, this is mine, nobody else is having it.
Well, he sat out for so long, right? And I think there was like we always consistently say, he's not an out-and-out number 9, right? But what he's done, he's probably set the tone for the team over the last month.
Mm.
I know Tomlin has got the glory and the goals, but I would say Patterson's work rate and endeavour and desire just to get amongst people, get about people, you know, and try and nick himself a goal. I'd say that has like almost set the tone for the rest of the team for me. Long may it continue. I think he would admittedly say himself, he's not an out and out number 9. He can play the position. He enjoys the position. He's a handful, but he can play 2 or 3 other positions where he can play them very, very well. So, thought that just an all around great performance. But the goal, Murphy's goal, I say, you know, that to me is a striker's goal.
Yeah.
And I've said from day one, he can play as an 11, as a 7, or as a 9. And I thought he would naturally migrate into a 9. That playing off the last man on the shoulder, quick, strong enough when he wants to be, and can finish. And I thought natural thing is, okay, you probably come here as a winger, get opportunities to play as a 9 when, say, you know, struggling in that position at centre forward, or, you know, manager thinks I'm going to go away from home, play with 5 across the midfield, and I'm just going to have like Murphy playing on the shoulder, pace, power, you know, and go finish. I thought it was a natural progression for him, but to me last night that showed, and it's only one instance, but I think a lot has been written and we've said and heaped lots of praise on Tomlin. I've been saying for months, if I'm a striker, I'd just be making friends, spending as much time getting to understand and know each other, getting around him, you know, and in training, trying to get the manager to put us on the same side in little games and that, to build that understanding, because it doesn't just happen.
Mm.
Right? Now you've seen Ward, Glatzel, Murphy, you've seen them all like have little 1-2 goal, 1-2 goal, or good run goal. So it's just trying to build an understanding with the player. But from there, I mean, Murphy could play as the 11 or 7, and still, what is good last night, he's come across the line and in off the left-hand side, rather than, you know, just stay out wide. He's come in and utilised his pace and his game understanding. So, for me, you know, if Murphy fired now, till the end of the season, yeah, Cardiff would make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe. Because it's not just about, it's about goals. If you're a winger, it's about providing goals and scoring goals. This is your responsibility. You know? And I think if that little injection of boost, confidence, whatever it may be that is needed, Murphy got from last night, then, you know, people like him, they can make a difference. They're that good a player on their day. But I'm not going to get excited. I'm not going to say, oh, that's us for the playoffs now and all that nonsense. Like I said, I've maintained, I think we'll finish 8th to 10th. And, you know, I'd love them to prove me wrong. I would. But, you know, I've seen... I've been in the game long enough not to get my hopes up too soon after a couple of good results. So, let's just wait and see.
Well, you just touched on Murphy there. I think it is a hot topic among fans because this is a player who, just before Christmas against Preston, I think it was jeered off by fans. Neil Harris then sidelined him for a couple of weeks, just gave him a few appearances in the FA Cup games. But like you've just said, he's almost a confidence player, isn't he? And he's a flair player. And what sometimes counts against him is because he's a flair player, his game is based on trickery, pace, going past people. And he's going to try and he's going to get it wrong. Lee Tomlin, time and time again in his career, has got it wrong and he's gone through hardships.
Do you want me to explain the difference between Tomlin and Murphy?
Please do.
Tomlin can be a nasty little so-and-so.
You think that's the big difference between
it is. There's a big difference. Tomlin, he's an aggressive guy. I've seen him do some little dirty, naughty things on the pitch, right? And, you know, as a manager, you don't want the feeling of your player being bullied, right? And sometimes there's the feeling that Murphy not gets bullied, but allows himself to be bullied.
Okay.
Right? And I just think if he... I'm not saying go out and kick someone and be that style of player. And if it's not in your nature to be nasty, fine. But you know what happens? When they kick you, get up, dust yourself down and wave him, come on, bring it on, bring more. Because it's not... you can't intimidate me then. Give me that side. Don't need the aggression, but just let me know, like, that. Okay, give me the ball again. This kid has kicked me 3 times. Give me the ball again a fourth time, and I'm going to embarrass him. Because he's got that ability, right? And I think that is what winds. Like I always say, not add as in, you know, throw punches around, but you've got to be add and be able to take it, and if necessary, give it. To play for Cardiff, that's the kind of mentality of our fans. We don't accept, we're already going into England's backyard almost, you know, every game.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're going in there as the underdog and we're Welsh. So you've got to be able to handle yourself. It's as simple as that. Like, some people might say, oh, you're talking nonsense. But for me, those are the little things that have wound this and the previous manager up. About Josh is that you don't have to be aggressive, but don't let people, and you know, don't show that sort of petulance where you throw your hands up and shrug your shoulders and, you know, he kicked me again sort of thing. Okay, kick you again, go and show him something. Yeah, go and embarrass him, go and take the mick out of him, go and, you know, rinse him, push the ball down the line 3 times and rinse him for pace, get a cross in. I don't care if it goes over the bat, just show him, like, I'm not going to be intimidated by you. And I think if I was in the dressing room or on the coaching staff, that's what I'd be saying to Josh. I know you're not going to go and kick people. I know that. I'm not asking you to. Yeah, but don't be kicked and not react. You know, someone kicked me. My reaction was, I used to go and kick people. I couldn't tackle for toffee. But I used to go and kick people to try and engage myself into the fight. Because once I'm into a fight, then it's, you know, it's dog eat dog. So if I was having a poor game, I would go and try and pick a fight sort of thing. Start a bit of mayhem. And I think that's me. But Josh is not that type of character. You can clearly see that. But
just needs a bit more of an edge to
ability
him.
Wise, he got it.
Yeah.
He got it. It's as simple as that. And we know he got it. And I think that is the other thing that frustrates fans more than anything. When you know we got a diamond and it's not performing. You know, it's not on show. And every player goes through confidence crisis. Every player, no matter who they are. Every player. But it's nice now that the fans gave him a bit of stick, nothing over the top. But to come out the other side, I'm just hoping last night, I often say sometimes a player or a club or a team need a moment. And I'm hoping that was Josh's moment last night, because it was a beautiful finish. And it's the sort of finish which you want to say, see, told you so, you know. Stick your 2 fingers up to everybody and say, yeah, all you doubters and haters and all. Mate, just let it go. Just take that forward and go and do it again tomorrow.
Yeah, because he's backed it up, obviously, because he scored 2 against Reading in that replay, and he scored one against Carlisle. Mm. We talked about maybe a bit of added bite in Josh Murphy. One player who has shown that bit of grit in central midfield has been Will Vaux recently. Let's not forget that a couple of months ago, this is a guy who was considering leaving Cardiff City in January because he couldn't get a minute on the pitch for love nor money.
We hadn't seen him.
No.
He's another weird one that Warnock had signed and disappeared.
Things he signed, I'm firmly of the belief that they signed Will Vaux thinking he was going to be the main central midfielder, maybe alongside Rawls or Bakuna, and then all of a sudden Warnock realised that Marlon Pack became available on deadline day, signed him, and all of a sudden
Will but Marlon can't get about the field like Will. Will's a bit of a destroyer.
No, they complement each other quite well now, they do,
but you've got a nice little trio.
Mm.
Because what Marlon haven't got is legs. But what Will has got is legs and power and strength. He's shown that, and he likes to mix it a bit. So does Marlon like to mix a bit. And then you've got the guile of Tomlin in front of them. Bakuna as well, you know. I had my doubts about Bakuna when he first came because it seemed like we were signing players and they didn't want to be here. But he's been fantastic this season, you know. Fair, I'll always admit, I was wrong about that one, you know, in the beginning, because I was thinking, you don't seem like you want to be here. But last couple of months, well, this season, he's been tremendous. So to have Bakuna, Pack, Volks, and Tomlin, you know.
And Joe Rawls is still injured as well.
And Rawls. Yeah. Listen, if you want, you can play a diamond, you can play a four midfield if you're going away from home and you think, and this is where like options that come into play. You can play those four, right, across midfield with Tomlin and a striker, right? And you could say your wing backs, like your full backs, right, I want you to fly forward. So we've got four central midfielders away from home at West Brom. We're just going to go and we're going to dig in and bite. And then last 10 minutes, we're going to bring on Murphy, Mendes or Hoylett or whoever to really just go and try and freaking win the game and destroy them. You know, it allows you to more and more tactical, you know, prevalence to go and do things that people aren't ready for. You can surprise people. When they're all playing at that sort of level, Bakuna's playing well. You know, Will's playing well. Pack's playing well. You know, it gives you space to do things that, like I say, the opposition ain't necessarily going to read into it.
Mm. Well, the last month has thrown up the likes of Murphy, the likes of Patterson, the likes of Vaux, all sort of elevating themselves. But another player who has to get a mention has to be Sean Morrison. I mean, the last month he's been outstanding.
I would say a bit longer than that.
Yeah, he was out.
I would say he had a little injury, and since he's come back, but up until his injury, he was playing well.
Mm.
He was having, like, to me, it's just, you can't play him and Flint together.
No.
I think Nelson played last night. I think the big up Sean is unfair on Nelson. Because it's the complement of the centre-backs, right? Morrison and Flint, I don't know what... Honestly, sometimes you can get it wrong. I don't know what Neil Warnock was thinking. But sometimes he probably would say now, oh, yeah, I probably got it wrong. Probably should have put Nelson in there. Because the athleticism of Nelson, alongside the guile, the experience, and just the sheer power of Sean... complement each other. That is so important. That is so important. All over the pitch, I always say partnerships. You know, those who have played together now, about 12 games, maybe? 10 games?
I think Morrison said last week their first partnership together was in the Swansea game.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're talking about six or seven games, right? But they complement each other.
Yeah.
Nice. Really complement each other.
Nelson's quite dynamic. Nelson isn't sort of a textbook defender by any stretch.
Not for me, Nelson is the typical defender, as in he's quick, athletic, he's strong, he's good in the air, good defending one-on-ones, good over the shoulder when someone tries to run him, times a tackle well, distribution, so-so.
Mm.
Morrison, Distribution, so-so. Can knock a good crossfield pass, but powerful in your box, powerful in your opposition's box from set pieces. Knows how to defend. You know, I think now with Nelson, is probably more confident defending one-on-one, because if he misses it, he's got someone quick to get around and, and cover. These are little things that play into your psyche when you're going out there. You know what I mean? It's no way Morrison's going to think, all right, if I get done today, I know Flint is going to be covering me because he's quick. If you don't have that there, then you know, well, I can't get done over the top. So I'm going to play a bit deeper and maybe a bit deeper. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
And they're little things that you don't necessarily see if you're a fan. But if you're in the dressing room or you're inside a player's head, you'd understand.
Yeah.
You know, and if fans who play sometimes on the weekend or with their mates, they'll understand exactly what I'm saying. Right? They'll understand, yeah, Nath, get that. Even on my Sunday league team, even my kids' Sunday league team. You know, the one kid is quick, the other kid's slow, but they complement each other. Or one goes for the headers, the other short, he sits back and drops around. Like Nesta and Cannavaro when I played against them.
I just pick up those names to you there, mate. Just drop them.
Just walk up.
And another one as well is Joe Bennett, who I think has also stepped up his game the last month or so after a difficult start to the season. But
maybe the signing of the left back has clicked him into gear.
Maybe that's what he wanted to light the fire.
He said himself he welcomed the competition.
Yeah, he did,
which is great, and I love to hear that. You know, because I've always said, for me, probably. I would put far more demands on him to get forward and get crosses in. Right?
That's when he's at his best.
Why? Because he can. I've always said he's a really good crosser of the ball on the run at pace. Gets his left foot around it, lovely at pace. But I don't see him do it often enough. And I think you're at the period now where Cardiff can really, if they can, I don't know what is like holding them back psychologically. I'd have to speak to people and be around it. But they're in a really good position, right? They're in a really good position where there's like 4 points between them and the playoffs.
Yeah.
Listen, hard to beat. People don't look forward to coming to Cardiff. Strong set of fans, strong team, finishes well all the time, you know. Don't concede a lot of goals, you know. The last thing you want is that team then stepping up and starting to play for football and scoring goals. You know, everyone will be looking over their shoulder. Cardiff can put this 2-game to 3-game to 4-game to 5-game. If they could do that, 5-game bouncing win, you'd be into the playoffs without a shadow of a doubt, and probably with a point or two to spare in the playoffs.
Well, that is the end of part one, and we'll be discussing the playoffs in part two, Blakey. So bear with us and we'll be right back.
Subscribe to The Boot Room on iTunes or listen on walesonline.co.uk.
Welcome back, and in this section we will be discussing Cardiff City's playoff hopes. Now, always been sort of lingering on the back burner, oh, we're only so many points away from the playoffs, blah, blah, blah. Oh, yeah, we haven't been playing brilliantly, but look. But now, after the Huddersfield win, it just seems to be a little bit more hope and optimism among the fans, Blake.
Well, it's you've played two games where I'm not saying you've gone and played like fantastic football. It doesn't happen in transition, right? Fantastic football. You get fantastic moments, fantastic like spells, a fantastic goal or two. But what that does is starts the wheels churning towards playing a better brand of football. I hope that is what Neil Harris is working towards, right? Because if he can get the team playing a better brand of football and more in conjunction with what Cardiff fans want to see, listen, you're on to an absolute winner, because this club will just fly. These fans will just fly, right? It'll be a very hard group to stop. If he can get that, capture that psyche now, if he can get that, and deliver it to the players, get them to understand, you know, the fans are behind you, they want you to see you play football, they're willing to accept a mistake or two here or there. You know, this is what we're trying to build, what we're trying to work towards. I just think, yeah, it can be done. But I'm not gonna get my hopes up after two or three good results. I'm not. I've been kicked in the teeth too many times, gee.
Well, I mentioned this earlier on today that in the Championship you get so many down moments almost. You can, fixtures come thick and fast. You can get picked up and then knocked straight back down the next week. And I understand what you're saying about urging caution, don't get carried away. But I just think fans need that. They need something to cling on to.
The optimism.
Yeah.
Yeah, or they need it. I'm not saying, I'm talking me. All right? I'm not
you're
saying
a fan
I'm not.
Well.
I am a fan, but like, I try and maintain a level. Right,
yeah.
It's hard to be positive when you can see what you're watching isn't great, right? And then it's hard to be negative when you're watching is fantastic.
Yeah.
Right. So I try and keep a happy medium.
Try and moderate.
Right. And what I try and do is analyze performance and then what that means. You know, generally and overall, and where we're going, and blah 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 blah. So it's almost like a guidance. She's trying to say, right, we don't just say, ah, it's crap, da 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 da. We give reasons why it's not good enough. We give reasons how it could be different. We also give a vision of what we see as the future, right? Because we also understand what we've seen in the past. So we go right from. We can go back 10 years here, as we say, and we can go to today and what we want to see going forward, what the philosophy is. It's what we keep talking. So I'm not optimistic, but I keep that to myself. It's like, you know, I don't want to tempt fate almost. Like,
yeah,
I just
want
to, I hope what I'm seeing is what I'm seeing, but it's not a game. You know, I said it a couple of weeks ago, Rob Phillips and Danny Gabdon were saying, ah, this could be the change when we beat West Brom.
Yeah.
We then lost after. You know, I'm more cautious. I think you'll see a period of six or seven games where I think, and that's not a fluke now. That's going to become the norm. We're playing like that.
Well, you're just
and then gradually build on that. And then signings who fit into how you want to play.
Yeah.
Differently, no disrespect to the centre backs, but a ball playing centre back, then I mean, and you know, full backs who don't get told to go forward love getting forward, right? So that gives you different options again. So, you know, we're getting there. That's what I'm
talking
about.
10 points from possible 12, including beating the league leaders West Brom, as you just alluded to. How much of a Championship campaign is about momentum?
Sport is about momentum. Life is about momentum, isn't it? Momentum going forward, doing things, trying things. They come off, they're successful. That builds confidence. You're happy then to go and try more and more and more. And you expect, even in the good times, the odd kick in the teeth, the odd low blow. But when you're confident, you shrug that off. When your confidence is low, that just becomes suffocating, doesn't it? It just weighs on you so much. But when your confidence is high, you know, you don't expect to go from now to the end of the season unbeaten, right? But even when you're beaten, the team that beat you think, wow, they're holding on for the last 10 minutes under the 1-0, hoping to beat you. And you're putting everything away from home. You're just peppering them, you know? And then all of a sudden, like, people come off the pitch going, how did we... Look, instead of Cardiff fans coming off saying, how did we win that? Cardiff fans are coming off and going, how did we lose that? We were brilliant today.
Mm.
And I think that is all part of what I'm talking about. Do you understand what I'm saying? And then when we're at that point, when you and I sat there going, how have we lost that?
Mm.
But winning regularly and defeat comes like something that is almost abnormal, then you know you're on to a different period for Cardiff City. You're in a different area now. You're no longer looking at football, which is deemed now negative. You're now looking at football, which is a decent brand of football. You know, you've moved forward. It's hard, and it's a football club that needs to do it, because the team is like the pinnacle, which then filters down. But alongside the team, like I say, you've got your philosophy, and you've got the club owners, and you've got their signings, and you've got like what the plan is and what the manager's plan is. Okay, but that plan has to fit into this philosophy. Why? Because this is what we want as a club, fans, players, you know, and a board alike. This is what we believe in. And then, right, you work toward that.
You've just spoken about the players there. How will the players be feeling now? You must have been in squads where you get on 3 or 4 wins. Is that something you talk about? Are you like, right, boys, we're in it, yeah?
What you don't do as players, you don't start saying to yourself, right, we're in it. But psychologically, you know something's happened, which tomorrow training will be better.
Yeah.
You feel better. You feel quicker, stronger, more confident. You start taking things on and trying things in training that you haven't done for the last 6 months. So muscle memory has, you know, fallen out. For me, trying that little Cruyff turn with a double step over and pinging one in the top Sanch. Well, I haven't tried that for ages.
Mm.
Why? Because I haven't really felt, you know, confident enough. But now, try it in training, comes off. Something else comes off. All of a sudden, you're just in a, your head's in a better space.
Mm.
So your confidence is up, momentum, all these things, they all play a part. Gee, they all play a part. And I think Cardiff at the moment, like I said, I'm not going to get overly excited, but they're in a good place.
They're in a good place, but as always, we have to look forward.
Mm.
And they've got Wigan this weekend. No, sorry, they aren't. Yeah, they have. Sorry, yeah, Wigan this weekend, yeah. Reading my fixture list wrong.
Yeah.
Then there's a run of games then, Stoke, Forest, Brentford, Barnsley, Leeds, really tricky fixtures in there, isn't it? Yeah. So how do you negotiate that? Are you looking for draws?
One game at a time, cliche, and look forward to smashing people who are above you. Taking apart those below you and around you and smash, because last time we played, I was at a 4 or 5 out of 10.
Mm.
This time I play, let's use Murphy for an example. Last fixture, maybe I was a 2, a 4, a 5 out of 10. This fixture, I'm an 8, I'm a 9 out of 10, confidence-wise. You got a problem, mate. If you think this game is going to be the same as the, it ain't. Why? Because that's 11 in a different space to the 11 that played 3 months ago, 2 months ago.
Mm.
All right? It's totally different. That's why they say no two games are ever the same. All right? And another person I think we should give a mention to is Smithies.
Oh yeah,
I think he's been, and that's the beautiful thing. He's almost like a set of platform of confidence.
Yeah.
For then the back four, then the midfield, and then what you've got is Tomlin in that midfield, working bits of magic, little moments. That's built momentum. Okay, last minute, Smithy pulls off a save, doesn't push it in, pushes it out, catches one, does some ridiculous shot stopping as well. Good with his hands, good with his feet. That sets a different tone in your back four, in the mentality.
Yeah.
Like, I've noticed almost everything we've said today is positive. It's changed the momentum swing.
Yeah.
It's going forward. It's like one of the cliches, you're on the front foot. And that's what I feel is happening.
Mm.
But I don't want to shout about it. I don't want to brag about it. So when you come up and those next run of fixtures come up, I want to play, I'd rather play West Brom and Leeds 6 times now, right? Because I want to smash you 6 times. That's what I'm thinking going forward. But that obviously can't happen. So in other words, I don't care who you're bringing.
Mm.
Honestly. You could bring the bottom 8 of the Premier League, same thing is going to happen. I'm going to do the same thing to you. You could bring the middle of the Premier League, same. You could bring the top. I'm going to go into this game with the same, in the same frame of mind. I'm looking to deal with whoever I'm playing against and deal with him properly.
So on evidence of the last few games, are you tipping Cardiff for a top 6 finish or no?
Hell no.
Don't attempt fate.
No, I ain't tempting fate. And I'm going to stick to my prediction of between 8 and 10.
Yeah.
And like I said, I love them to slap me in the face with a wet fish and prove me wrong.
Okay, then let's move on to some Ask Blakey. And the first question we've got is from Hayden Jones.
All right, Hayden.
Hayden asks, are we going to see Sanderson at all, or is Jazz the option we need? What have you made of Jazz recently?
Jazz Richards?
Mm. No, the other Jazz at the club.
I'll be honest with you, I thought he's had a really difficult time coming back.
Me too.
Right? I think he's... that's what I said, a Adoma playing in front of him, I think, is a godsend, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Right? I think he missed the work rate and the strength and the power of Mendes Lang, because he's brilliant at positional, working back, helping his fullback. Right? I'm not saying the others aren't, I'm just saying he was better at it. Adoma is very good at it. Experience plays a big part. Excuse me, but I think the games... It's almost like every game since he come back, he's had a good winger to contend with.
Yeah.
And, you know...
As you do in this level.
Yeah, and he's had his work cut out. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes they've got the better of him. But also not forgetting he's been out for a long, long, long time. Now, I think he can be the attacking fullback that is required in modern day football to get to where they want to be footballing-wise. Right? You need that type of fullback. Fit, quick, strong... Good defensively, very good going forward also. But now with Adoma, those two, like I said, room together, build an understanding, a partnership, right? And these are little things that you think, rooming together, what difference? Well, mate, we're partners. You know,
does that make a difference?
It makes massive difference.
Who did you experience that with in your
John McGinley.
Yeah?
Right? Best example I can give you is John McGinley. Played against John McGinley, Sheffield United, Bolton Wanderers, had a proper to do, right? Almost give him one in the tunnel. Didn't then, after the game, there's apologies and what have you, we shook hands, went our separate ways. Joined Bolton, first couple of months, I had a mare. Didn't want to be there, still pining for Sheffield United, right? But then I had to slap myself, wake myself up and realise that's not going to happen, mate. Following season, that season got relegated. Following season, was thinking, do I really want to be here? And then all of a sudden, Colin Todd says, right, puts me on a game in pre-season, play well, and then, right, wanted to room with McGinn. Okay, room with McGinn, realise how dirty he is. But funny, and got on, and listen... Probably if I was to name partners I play with, he's without a shadow of a doubt my number one partner. We just complimented, like, just knew each other, not just the game, but just what made each other laugh, what made each other tick off the pitch. You know, we didn't like our families go out together and all that, but we spent a lot of time together as a team in the season. We like broke records. And you know, it was the days where one out, all out sort of thing. Not allowed to stay in, get fined if you stay in and all that. And McGinn and I, partners, room partners, just like a sixth sense, knew where he was going to be. He knew where I was going to be. He knew what spaces not to go into, what spaces I love to be in. He knew 9 times out of 10, if the ball comes to him on the halfway line, I'm just heading for the box. I'm not going to look to play 1-2 or get involved with him, because he'll just turn, run, boom, boom, cross it, and I finish.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say, yeah, I've experienced it firsthand. Ashley Ward, another one at Blackburn, spent time with him, built a decent partnership. Matt Janssen,
Jazz.
Justine Flo at Sheffield United. You always partner up, you do, with the players you're going to play with.
So Jazz get rooming with Uncle Albert is Blakey's advice. Okay, Tony Payne says...
All right, Tom.
We seem to have reached a high point of the season so far. Now we know the squad for the rest of the season. What's Blakey and yours, as if it's me, first choice starting 11, and when Rawls is fit, does he automatically come straight back in? Gives you starting 11, Blakey, and I'll see if I agree with it.
Okay, as it is, really. Smithies, Jazz... Nelson, Morrison, Bennett. It would be between Bakuna, Pack, and Volks for me.
So Rawls doesn't come back in?
No, Rawls definitely doesn't come back in.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to play Tomlin, so it can only be two of those three. But I'm happy with any three. If I really need legs, because I know Bakuna can play as well, he can switch play. So can Volks, and he got a strike on him. Volks as well, got a dig on him. But you could even, if you want to go very, very leggy, as in good legs, then you could put Bakuna and Volks and not play Pack.
I think Bakuna and Volks is my ideal two.
So you've got a choice there. And then ideal would be Mendes on the right, but now we've got Albert. So Albert on the right, Murphy on the left. Strikers up for grabs for me. I'd probably go with, as it stands, what I've seen.
as
I stands, what I've seen, I'd probably go with Patterson.
Yeah, same.
Right?
Same.
Because he's setting the tone. And then, but, you know, he's setting the tone in a way that is helping the drive and build momentum in my team.
Yeah.
And I'm disappointed to say that because, you know, I'm a striker. Pogo Patterson's a striker, but he's utility. You can play him in several different positions. But Ward, Glatzel, you know, you can keep getting opportunity. You know, but at the same time, we weren't playing well. So if Patterson is the one setting the tone and then you end up playing well, obviously he's going to keep the shirt. So
I agree with that. 11, I would say.
So it's only the three midfielders you picked, two from three.
Yeah. Reece Jones.
All right, Reece.
Asks, if Lee Tomlin had played as our creative midfielder rather than Victor Camarasa last season, would City have stayed up? More assists, more goals, and a set-piece expert we never had last year. That is a good question.
That's a great question. Okay, if you offered me Camarasa or Tomlin, and this is dead honest now, right? Because we've seen Tomlin this season a lot. We've seen Camarasa last season a lot. I would probably go, in this league, I'd go Tomlin.
Mm-hmm. Right? Premier League?
I'd probably go Camarasa because he had a bit more legs. But that is like really touch and go.
Splitting hairs.
Yeah, because what I love about Tomlin, it's not that he can open safes and all that. He's fantastic vision, great finisher, got that little flipping free kick, the little flipper he does and what have you. He's got all that Camarasa's got. But what he's got over Camarasa is the nasty streak.
Mm.
Camarasa wouldn't put his foot in. Tomlin's not a tackler. When he's losing, he's horrible, right? And you know, I like that nasty streak in a player because I think that's a determination, like a grit that your team needs. Players like that in it. They don't all of them like it because it's not all the same, but you need that. So, but I think there's less of that in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Right. So I don't think it's as necessary. I think it's very necessary in the Championship, not as necessary, but. You know, Camarasa then would give you a bit more legs, then be able to carry the ball further and things like that. So it is split nairs though for me. But great question.
Yeah, it's a good
great
question.
Great question. I would put it this way. Let me just finish.
Yeah.
RJ, I wouldn't go and get Camarasa if I had Tomlin.
Do you think if Cardiff?
It'd have to be a lot better than Tomlin for me to go out. Whether it was in Championship or the Premier League, for me to go out and get a Camarasa, I don't think Camarasa would be enough to replace Tomlin. I would want more than a Camarasa.
How would you feel putting yourself in a player's shoes if Tomlin, if Cardiff got promoted this season, and let's face it, a large part of that is down to Lee Tomlin, in the summer they buy a playmaker to come in and fill his boots and he sits and warms the bench?
That's life, mate.
But
I want to stay in the Premier League. That's just the way it is. That's you help us get there, but for the vision I'm saying, I said go and get Aaron Ramsey a year ago. People like laughed me out of town. It's not such a stupid idea now, is it? Going and getting someone like Aaron Ramsey, you wouldn't because he's at Juve. But I think people understand now what I'm saying. I don't want to go into the Premier League and fight in the bottom four or five teams.
Mm.
I want to go in the Premier League and do what the likes of Wolves, my old club, have done. Right? Didn't struggle. Sheffield United go into Champions League, by the way.
Mm.
They could. That's what I want to do. That sets the tone then, right, following season, who I'm able to sign. Why? Because we played in Europe or we finished ninth, had a really good season, blah, 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 blah. Right, now, a higher calibre of player is willing to come, yeah, and play.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, this is a fantastic place to live. Sell the city. Sell the surroundings. Got some of the beautiful and most beautiful beaches in the world down West Wales. It sounds like, really, Nate? Yeah, really. If I'm bringing a player from wherever, Argentina, South America, Italy, wherever, I'm showing him, right, you know, this is the options where to live, places for your family, you and your family to go, and this is city centre, and London up road if you want to go there, Birmingham, fantastic city, hour and a half the other way.
Mm.
I'm really selling it. If you like countryside, got some of the best. Like city, we've got a good city. That's just me, mate. So, you know, I wouldn't. Players understand. If a better player comes in, or was viewed a better player, it's up to me. It's, you know, the manager doesn't say, right, your loyalty, you got us up, right, that's it. You, that's kind of the mentality that was of the season we went up, right? That was the mentality of the club. My mentality isn't, listen, I'm loyal, I'll be loyal to Lee Tomlin, right? But no, I've brought this player in. Now, if this player in, who I rate as a higher calibre of player than you, like, you wouldn't put Aaron Ramsey and Lee Tomlin in the same boat, would you?
No.
Right. But what you would say is, if I bring in Aaron Ramsey, that's making a statement.
Yeah.
That's uplifting my team. Then I sign another player and another player, and they've come here because they can see the project, what we're trying to build, where we're trying to go. Lee wouldn't be happy sat on the bench, but he would understand. Now, okay, when you get your opportunity, because they will come, you got to do better than Aaron's doing. That's just that. That is competition.
Yeah.
All right? And that keeps my team and my club at the higher echelons, rather than thinking, oh, we'll just survive, or we hope, or we'll go down, but we'll have a laugh. And what are you talking about? Fans don't pay their money going, oh, I'll come and have a laugh. Oh, I don't mind if we win, lose, or draw. You know, it's sacred.
Mm. Okay, Kian asks, do you think Cardiff have what it takes to make the playoffs, or even better, nick that automatic spot? Whoo!
I do. But I'm not pinning my hopes on it.
Yeah. Automatic. Well,
because I still believe. Also, you've got to look at the manager's been here a short period of time. He's taking a bit of stick. We're hoping, like, this is the beginning. I said we should see the fruits of his stats, see the fruits of his labour around the end of January, February.
Mm-hmm.
Said that, right?
You did, yeah.
And what I'm hoping, fingers crossed, is that, okay, almost mid-February, this is the beginning of, right, Neil Harris's, right, this is, he's got the players on board, there's a belief, there's an understanding, and they're going to transition to, because what you have to understand if you're here as a manager is you have to transition, because the fans are desperate for it. You can't come and play a same brand of football, similar brand of football. They have to believe, because they'll give you leeway for that.
Mm.
They'll give you less leeway if you win and play long ball. They give you less leeway, and then if you draw, playing a more expansive style, so they can see where we're building towards, where we're going.
Mm.
All right, they'll accept the, like I said, the knocks on the chin. Fans will, but I think the reason why a lot of fans were or have been on Neil Harris's back, because they don't see the transition. I'm hoping now this is part of a period, like you said, since West Brom, I've had like 4 or 5 games, and it's that, the build.
Mm. Just been searching here for a question from Ryan Murphy, who asked me a couple of days ago.
All right, Ryan.
He said, I always miss the questions because I'm in the US, so here's an early one for next Ask Blake.
In the US? Well, I tell you what, Ryan, tell us where in the US as well.
Does he say where he is? No, he doesn't. Oh God, I've gone off now. No, don't always agree with him, but Blakey seems to have a genuine understanding of the club and concrete plans on how to address issues. Ever considered getting involved with the club football director?
We've been there before.
He wanted me to ask, just remind me.
It's you know, there's things I can't really say, right? But I've always got the feeling that the hierarchy think, I don't think now, honestly I don't, something happened in the summer, you and I know what that is,
mm-hmm.
and I don't think the club think that I'm trying to damage. I don't try and damage, I've got no reason to try and damage. But when you're a board member, there's roles and responsibilities, right? And you've got to be held to account, you're accountable, right? That's the whole idea of being on a board, right? You're held accountable for the actions and what actions happen at the club. So I don't think there's a hate or anything like that. I think, like I said, there's other reasons which I won't mention, but we've been there, done that. Listen, mate, it's not going to happen, right, under this regime. And I keep saying it doesn't need to happen now. Because they can listen to this podcast and they get everything they need.
For free?
For absolutely zilch.
Don't have to pay you anything.
Right? And by the way, right, I'm glad. I love when people don't agree. And you're not supposed to agree with
That's
everything.
That's our opinions, isn't it?
That's where we all love the game, right? We all got our opinions, right? But at the end of the day, I understand the game a lot better than a lot of other people. And I think it's because I take it back to my childhood, growing up in Ringland, in Newport. A coach there started coaching me when I was 8, Harry Lee. He could have been a professional, decided not to, for whatever reasons, got married, decided not to be. But he would, like I say, tell people all the time, he was telling me things at 8 and 9 that Colin Todd was telling me when we won the championship at Bolton to go to the Premier League.
Mm.
And that's no exaggeration. So the grounding I got, and I think that's why I was able to play for Cardiff at right back, no problem. Debut at left back, no problem. Year at centre back, no problem. You ask me to play any position on the pitch, I could play and play really well. That's not me bigging myself up, that's just the truth. Right? I played all over the park, midfield, centre midfield, right back, left back, centre forward. But traditionally, I was a left winger. That's all I ever played as a kid. But coached well, good understanding of the game. And then you spend hours and hours self-teaching, don't you?
Mm.
You know, I was a Tottenham fan when I was a kid. So I would repeat the Ricky Villa goal and stuff like that, and Gaff Crooks and Stevie Archibald. And you're out commentating on the poorest pitch in school playing, or out in the front yard, on the front lawn. Well, it wasn't a lawn, it was an uphill. But yeah. So I've got a good understanding of the game because of what I've been brought up, how I've been brought up, and the people who were around me. I was at Cardiff when I think I was about 11. A guy named Keith Tennant, God rest him, lovely guy. He was Cardiff scout. Used to bring myself and my two mates, Norman Parcell, Sean Wharton, both Newport lads, but they were like 3 years older than me. I used to train with the like 15s or something like that when I was about like 11. So I was at Cardiff when I was a little nipper.
Mm.
Right? He used to bring us down in his blue Morris Minor. And but again, training with older people, getting an understanding, because some of the boys when I was like 12 were like playing like under 18s and 16-year-olds. Some of them were playing, and I was holding my own against them. You know, so it's. But it's not just understanding the football, it's understanding what it is to be a board member. I do that. And then it's understanding the game itself. And clubs got to have a philosophy and what it is you're trying to achieve.
Mm. And what will be, will be.
Yeah.
Gareth Pearce finally asks, does Blakey expect Murphy to push on from here and nail down the left wing spot? And will Harris look to build a team around Murphy and Tomlin? Or, depending on where Cardiff are in the summer, will they cash in on Murphy?
See now, G, that's a great question, because that just shows what two or three good goals does for you.
Yeah.
Right? So the fans all know, right, Murphy, he can be a match winner.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I would love this to be the beginning of him, Murphy in particular, doing something special to now to the end of the season, because I believe it could have a real, real big influence on the team and on the club overall. Like I said, I'm still in a position where I'm not getting excited about anything, just trying to maintain a level and, you know, like you just said, G, what will be, will be. But I'm hoping so.
Okay, then we will finish, as always, with the customary predictions. And seeing as though it's your podcast, Blakey, you can start at home to Wigan.
Wigan at home, 3-1 win. We'll lose a goal early and then come back and smash them.
I'm going 2-0 win. I think that the defence has been that good that they're not going to concede this weekend.
Okay, that'd be great too.
Once again, thank you all so much for listening, and thanks once again
for
your
great
questions.
Yeah, great questions too. Great questions. Great podcast. It's funny, it's better with two. I was joking, Paul.
Make sure you keep up to date with all Cardiff City news at Wales Online.